Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries. If you want to sponsor us, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Send us questions on Twitter, @LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, @LockedOnBulls. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, Locked On Bears is getting into the swing of training camp. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, Team USA is not as much of a cakewalk as he thought it would be, is it?
They are not rolling in any regard.
No.
A three-point win against Serbia on Friday. A three-point win against France on Sunday. The Serbians had a shot to tie in the waning seconds.
And then they only lost. They only beat Australia by 10 also after they blew out their first two games, China and Venezuela.
Yep. But this is a lot harder than everyone thought. And I find it funny because the storyline initially coming out of the Olympics was Team USA's defensive identity. And what's breaking down right now? The old defensive end is the problem. Kyrie Irving, he's really big on getting to the hoop. He likes torching people. He's among the best in the world at that off the dribble. Carmelo's getting his points, getting his buckets. Those two are not brilliant defenders by any stretch of the imagination. They're both being taken advantage of a little bit.
Clay
went
off on...
the rest of the team isn't engaged either.
Sunday. Yeah, no, even the guys who are pretty good defenders usually, you know, Clay and our guy Jimmy Butler, have not really been performing on that. And Clay had a really big game on the offensive end in the last game.
Against
he scored
France,
31 points.
But the problem is Team USA is a little lackadaisical defensively. And, I mean, Paul George, I mean, said it best. He said, quote, "Personally, I thought we were going to dominate in these games. We're going to be easy," end quote. That hasn't been the case. Do you see anyone challenging Team USA in the knockout round, which will begin Wednesday? At the time of this recording, Team USA's opponent is still up in the air. It will be either Lithuania or Croatia, depending on how that game plays out. But what do you see playing out in that regard, Sean?
I think it's absolutely in play that the U.S. challenges. If I were someone who was betting on these things, I still think the U.S. wins the gold medal. But, you know, going into this tournament, I thought, oh, this is just going to be a cakewalk for the U.S. They're just going to blow out everybody in the knockout in the group stage, and then, you know, maybe they'll have a tough time against France or something if they play Spain in the finals. And then the last two games against France and Serbia have been, I mean, in the group stage, they've been getting challenged in the group stage. Like,
backup centers for the Denver Nuggets, or guys who start at center and then the backup depending on the day of the week, I guess, last year between LaVern and Jokic, have torn up United States in the last two games.
They're getting
manhandled inside, too. It's not just off the dribble on the outside.
Well, in their defense, Nikola Jokic is really, really good. He arguably was the second-best rookie last year after Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that's good, but he still shouldn't be having his way with Draymond Green, DeAndre Jordan, or DeMarcus Cousins, or anyone else on the interior of Team USA. But he is. That's slightly concerning, and you know who's got to be absolutely fuming.
Another person with Bulls ties.
Tom Thibodeau has got to be absolutely fuming because he had that nice, lofty, glossy, good piece by Mark Stein on ESPN.com near the start of the Olympics, and just tracing through the start of USA training camp and the exhibitions, how these guys were buying into it. And now Team USA is getting lit up, like allowing 50% from the field every game, not getting the job done. The wheels got to be churning in his head a little bit, because right now it's on his end, and he does have a very big role in the Team USA, being the defensive coordinator. I mean, that's what he was for the Celtics when they won the NBA title back in 2008 when he was an assistant. He kind of has a role, too, with Team USA.
Bulls were a top five defense the first 4 years he was in Chicago. They were top five defense in the league.
Yeah, and maybe Tibbs, if he was head coach of Team USA, would just throw Jimmy out there and just put him on the prowl defensively, tell him to turn it up on that end. That's not the case, though. Jimmy Butler, a little bit marginalized to a bench role. He's ahead of DeRozan and Harrison Barnes in the rotation, but he's kind of around number 10 in the rotation now or so. It kind of seems like 9 or 10. Coach K's mainly sticking to 7 or 8 guys here with the closer games. Jimmy had 2 points against France, played about 6 minutes. Coach K didn't take my advice to put him in these past two games at the end for defensive purposes. You know, a little offense-defense substitution.
No, absolutely.
But the problem is not as many dead balls in Olympic play, in international play, which is awesome to watch at the end of the game, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, after, you know, watching all these NBA games where, you know, there's all the, you know, fouling and calling timeout, and it takes, you know, 10 minutes to play out the last, like, minute and a half of a game in terms of, like, time that's on the clock. It takes, like, 10 or 15 minutes to play that out. Now, this is absolutely refreshing. Now, as far as the USA team, I wonder if, you know, even if they you know, are able to win the gold medal here, this year in Rio, I wonder if this is going to lead to them changing their approach again, like, after, you know, in how they put together the teams. I feel like with this time, you know, with a lot of the guys who had Olympic experience, the only two guys that were on the 2012 London team are Carmelo and Durant. A lot of the guys that have played internationally before, like, you know, Steph, Russ, Harden, a lot of those kinds of
LeBron,
guys.
LeBron, obviously.
LeBron, yeah, yeah. Chris Paul. Those guys all pulled out. I wonder if the move for them long-term is to just have this be, and I think Mark Cuban has suggested this, and even if it's not like a rule change, but just make this make the Olympics or make FIBA, make one of them a 23 and under.
That's what it is for men's soccer in the Olympics.
Right. It should be 23. Well, I think it should be like if you put guys on the team, like, you know, like,
the Americans would get lit up if they had to trot out an under 23 team right now.
Yeah, I don't know if they would, though.
I mean, this is you would have, you're saying a Olympic-wide rule, everyone's 23 and under, correct?
Right.
Yeah, not just this being an American decision
to
hold
right,
back.
But I mean, I think it would make the, at least the U.S. team, I think it might do them better because, like, I know, you know, it's important to some of the guys like Carmelo and Durant, like, it's important to these guys to win the gold medal, but, like, Durant just signed a contract. How much do you think he's really, if you're only getting, like, a 70% version of Kevin Durant, whereas if you put somebody like, I don't know, Jabari Parker or something.
I mean, you'd be looking at a Karl-Anthony Towns, Jabari Parker type team.
Well, Towns, I think, is technically Olympic eligibility with the Dominican team.
Oh,
but yeah,
okay. I didn't even realize that.
But yeah, if you look at, you put somebody like Jabari Parker out there, a guy who's still on his first NBA contract, hasn't really proven himself yet as a star, he's gonna be have a lot more to lose by not playing well. If Kevin Durant doesn't play well in the Olympics and they don't win the gold medal, he'll be fine.
Yeah, but the other way you can look at that, though, is Jabari Parker doesn't have that second massive contract yet, and he's putting himself at injury risk before that. Now, obviously, a lot of these young guys like Jabari have been part of Team USA's lower levels and coming up through juniors have been on these teams, so they're invested. I mean, Team USA is the thing now for younger guys kind of take over. I mean, that's why Coach K loves, I mean, part of the reason coaching it is because there's ties to this younger pipeline of talent, because if you're not going to play AAU, or a lot of people are prioritizing Team USA, the best talent, over AAU. So instead of having to trek out on the local college scene, go to sweaty gyms in the middle of nowhere and all these flights you don't want to, you can have great amenities and just have the Team USA ties to this younger talent and still be recruiting them indirectly instead of directly in some ways like that. But at the same time, I do see your point, too. But there's a flip side to that, you know, the injury risk. And, I mean, the worst thing we ever want to see is another Paul George injury, but that's going to happen every single time you trot anyone out.
See,
for
I don't...
basketball.
Right, but it's like, even with the Paul George injury, like, and I remember when he had that injury in 2014, there was all this hand-wringing about whether NBA guys should play internationally. It was like, guys play pickup in the summer all the time. That was an injury that wasn't specific to Team USA or to it being an international event. Like, you could just... he could have had that exact same injury playing pickup. And so are you going to tell these NBA guys not to ever play in the summer?
I'm trying to think, when's the last time we heard of a horrific pickup injury?
Well, I'm not saying that it's happened recently, but it's like that. It's not that it could happen, though. Like,
actually, well, I mean, the last, I'm trying to think, as it ties and pertains to the Bulls, was the Carlos Boozer, the first year he signed the contract, fell down his stairs when he was completely sober or something.
Trying to move a bag, right?
Yeah, like moving a bag. No one, I don't think, ever will know that entire story, but it's about as believable as the White Sox saying Chris Sale was taking a bag or like something out of a package out of the bed of his pickup truck and dropped it on his foot, too. Like, all these stories are outrageous. We don't know how they really get hurt.
My favorite was in 2010. When Joel Prisbilla, because the Blazers, like, that year, that was the year Greg Oden had his last knee injury, where it was the last time he played in Portland. And then, like, a month later, Joel Prisbilla got hurt. So the Blazers basically had no center. And he had, like,
what'd they claim?
Patella injury, too. So the first he had the injury initially, and it was just, you know, on the court, you know, it was a basketball injury, so he had the surgery. And then, like, 3 months later, they announced that he had another surgery on the same knee because he fell down in the shower.
Fell down in the shower. So we'll never get to the bottom of that mystery either.
Well, that's still a lot of good. Who's the baseball player that, like, broke his hand playing Guitar Hero? Because that's the all-time best.
Was Carlos Zambrano on the Cubs had, like, arthritis problems at one time because he was, like, on the computer typing so much because he's playing, like, online computer games or, like, aiming and chatting online so much that, like, I don't know if he had to miss the start, but the Cubs, during the heyday of the Carlos Zambrano era, and he was a character if there ever was.
Absolutely.
In Chicago, like, that's a weird, crazy sports injury, so you gotta be careful of those. I think if you do injure yourself just playing summer pickup basketball, that truthful story would usually come out, because I think most people would tend to understand how that all plays out. But you know, Sean, you know how you don't get hurt if you're a Team USA basketball player? You know a great way?
What is that?
You just go to the beach volleyball tournament and watch. You hang out. You're just in the stands, and you're living up Rio. Because that's what the boys were doing. At least a third of the team was doing Sunday night. DeAndre Jordan, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green took in Olympic volleyball with Kerry Walsh Jennings and April Ross. And the guys were hilarious, and I thought it was great. Because I'm getting a kick out of how much everyone in the Olympics is loving going to the other sports. And Jimmy Butler, he was loving it. He had a solo cup that looked basically like a Hawaiian shirt, which I thought was funny.
Absolutely.
We'll never know what was in it, but we know he and Draymond were having a terrific time. Draymond was just waving a flag incessantly behind Kevin Durant's interview with NBC Sports in the middle of this thing, and Jimmy and DeAndre were dancing. So my thing was, great for Jimmy. Isn't he kind of hanging out with the wrong people that he's supposed to be subtly recruiting? Like, DeAndre Jordan's under contract for what, like, 4 more years? Draymond, like, 3 or 4 more years? Kevin Durant, obviously, a year. But, like, Jimmy should be hanging out with DeMarcus Cousins. Haven't we gone over this before?
He should be. That's kind of the guy that, you know, you can look at and say this is a guy that could potentially change teams. There's obviously a volatile situation in Sacramento. But you want to hear about some recruiting that Jimmy Butler is doing.
Oh, let's hear it.
So, former NBA champion and general all-around character Steven Jackson, who...
That's a terrific way to describe the one and only Steven Jackson.
Who has been out of the league for a couple of years.
Yeah, wow.
And he wants to get back into the league. There was a report a while ago that he was going to get a training camp invite with the Warriors, but I guess that hasn't happened. But he did an interview over the weekend with Hoops Hype, and...
Everything Steven Jackson says, I think we should clarify and say, take with a grain of salt. Right?
Absolutely. But
tell him what he said.
He basically said that Jimmy Butler and Rajon Rondo have been calling Steven Jackson to try to get him to come to the Bulls.
I'm perplexed here.
I'm a little skeptical, too.
What's the end game here? Jimmy, it should be noted, did a great job recruiting Dwayne Wade. Terrific job. Dwayne Wade cited that as a massive reason he came to Chicago. And I thought that was... terrific for Jimmy, because obviously Derrick Rose did not take a large role in that. A lot of, I don't know if bad blood's the right word, but the Bulls are certainly annoyed that Derrick Rose didn't take on a larger role recruiting Carmelo Anthony in the summer of 2014. Basically showed his face at the United Center, I believe, and didn't engage too much after that. And that's certainly Derrick Rose's personality too. A little bit, but to have Jimmy Butler recruiting and just, I mean, having a good time with other guys in the NBA, selling it to whoever it may be, even if it's Dwayne Wade, I mean, even if he's a past his prime guy, is good for the Bulls, because I think it's helpful going forward in these summers with the recruiting. Now, Steven Jackson, I don't know. I'm a little confused by that. Like, what exactly is going to happen here? I cannot see in any regard the Bulls have a full roster. No way this is happening. So, to me, it feels like Steven Jackson just making a pitch to anyone, trying to get some leverage to work his way maybe back for a couple more three-pointers in the NBA.
Right, because if you remember, like, the last time he played, this isn't like, I mean, yeah, Jimmy Butler recruited Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade, he's not the player he was 5 years ago, but he's still good.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson is 38. He hasn't played in the NBA in 2 years, and the last time he played, I think he was on a couple of 10-day contracts with the Clippers in the 2013-14 season, and he was awful.
I'm glad you remember this, because I cannot remember the end of the Steven Jackson era.
He was so bad. And it's just, I mean, it's a guy, like, I mean, it's cool that he wants to come back, and, like, if he's kept himself in good shape, like, that's great, and, you know, for the right team, I think he could be, like, a veteran presence and stuff like that, but, like, just the Bulls, no, I don't see the
when
fit.
When Jimmy returns to the States and we get media availability, we at some point will confirm or deny that with Jimmy, what his conversation with Steven Jackson was.
Yeah, we'll see
just
about that.
Just for the record books, but no Steven Jackson to the Bulls anytime in the near future. Guys that are a lot better at basketball than Steven Jackson would be.
Yes.
Rondo, Butler, and Wade. And Matt, via email, has a question for us. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any basketball-related questions, advertising, inquiries. Matt asks via email, lifelong Bulls fan here, listen to the pod and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. But Matt says, I'm pessimistic that Rondo, Butler, Wade work as a trio. I think if the Bulls knew they were getting Dwayne Wade, they wouldn't have signed Rondo a few days before. Do you think a February 2017 trade is possible surrounding Rondo? And if so, where to? Matt says, I'm thinking the Pelicans because Jrue Holiday and Tyreke Evans are on expiring deals too. Should be noted, Rondo has a 2-year deal, but that second year is a minimal team investment.
It's like $3 million guaranteed.
Could get out of without really cash-strapping themselves moving forward. February 2017 is obviously trade deadline time. Anything's possible if the season spirals.
Yes.
Anything's possible. Like, if the experiment doesn't work out, absolutely. You kind of got to rejigger the rotation there at the trade deadline and just configure your puzzle because you're not doing this for the long term. The Rondo Wade Butler thing is like a 2-year window, you know? It's not a 3 or 4 year window. So if it goes really badly in year one, absolutely anything's possible. Now, that said, I think the Bulls want to give it as much time as possible to work. I think it'll work well enough that they're still in the playoff race that I think it's more likely than not that they'll still be wanting to keep those guys at the trade deadline, is my view. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think there's an interesting point that Matt made in this email, which is that if the Bulls had thought that Dwayne Wade was a possibility, they probably wouldn't have gone in the Rondo direction. Because, I mean, as much as they want to talk about how this can work, like, it's an awkward fit between the three of them. And I think everybody kind of acknowledges that. It's going to be something that takes, you know, some time to work. But as far as, like, a trade, I mean, I'm sure they'll try if it doesn't work out, but I just don't see a team out there, and our listener Matt mentioned New Orleans as a possibility, but, I mean, if Jrue Holiday is healthy, I would rather have Jrue Holiday than Rondo, and so if he's healthy, then I don't know why the Pelicans would.
Yeah, something would have to go wrong on the Pelicans' end.
And if you're the Bulls, then if Jrue isn't healthy and you're just trading for his contract, then, like, you get worse. Like, I don't know what that accomplishes.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that one. On a lighter note, we have a good question here.
Yeah.
From Greek Bulls fan, which Bulls player would be fastest at a 100-meter race? And great question in the spirit of the Olympics.
In the spirit of the Olympics.
None of the Bulls would be anywhere near as fast as Usain Bolt. But 15 guys on the Bulls roster, I think. Which one would be fastest, Sean? In a race. Foot race, 100 meters.
Well, I mean, who's the smallest guy on the team? It's probably like Isaiah Cannon or Jaren Grant, right?
Yeah, we haven't got to see those guys play too much in Bulls uniforms. We saw Grant a little bit in Summer League. I don't know, did he look fast to you at the Thomas and Mack Center?
You
didn't have a stopwatch? You weren't timing him?
I have not looked at the sport view numbers on how many miles he runs per game. Like, I'll say that. But, you know, I think Dwayne Wade back in the day would have been clearly the winner of this because he was one of the most explosive and fast guys in the league at a certain point. But, you know, at this point he's 34 and he's had knee problems. He had a lot of miles on him.
I got Jimmy winning the mile, the 2-mile, the half marathon, the marathon, anything longer distance related for the Bulls. I got Jimmy. I think if he won the gold medal in that, he would certainly, the first person he'd have to thank is Tom Thibodeau when he gets to the medal stand. For the shout out for all those minutes he used to have.
Where would he put that medal? Tom Ball or his locker?
We're still waiting.
That's a callback.
After Team USA wins the gold medal, where will Jimmy keep it? But in that, man, he played 48 minutes in a preseason game once when he was a rookie or whatever. And I believe that was October of his rookie year or whatever. So we're coming up on like the 4 or 5 year anniversary. I don't know if it's year one or two for him. But yes, that's a day that will live. I guess in Bulls lore, the day Jimmy Butler played 48 minutes in a preseason game under Tibbs. And we will finish it up with a another interesting question. I like the intrigue here from Mr. Bulls fan from us on Twitter, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls as always. He says, how great of a Bulls team could be constructed if you had all Chicago area or Illinois natives as players? And obviously those overlap a little bit. You can look at two ways. He mentions you could have Anthony Davis, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Patrick Beverley, Jabari Parker, Jahlil Okafor, all guys with Chicago ties. If you open it up to Illinois, you can add Sean Livingston.
Iman Shumpert.
The Springfield area. Iman Shumpert, also an Oak Park guy. Frank Kaminsky, suburbs, went to Bennett. Robert Covington, Chicago area guy. How good of a team would that be? Could that challenge for a title? And I think, well, I mean, if you want to look that up, some people on the internet have done that kind of experiment and debated would New York, LA, Chicago win, you know, the pipeline of talent. But Chicago would certainly be way up there. You'd have your superstar player, Anthony Davis. Jabari Parker looks like he'd be a really solid number two when he develops into his prime. Well, what do you think about that team?
I mean, I think that's a pretty solid collection of names, and obviously the presence of Anthony Davis there, like you just said, is what is going to vault them over, you know, to being one of the best teams. But then, yeah, I mean, Dwayne Wade obviously still has something left. Derrick Rose, who knows what he looks like at this point, but you know, that's a good group.
The Bulls, I think you can be certain that the Bulls would rather have that core than their current core. Chicago has produced...
I think they'd rather have Anthony Davis than anybody on their team right now.
Some phenomenal talent. I still don't think that team would beat the Warriors. No, I'd still take the Warriors against the Chicago super team.
Yes.
An Illinois super team.
100%.
I think LA's the one off the top of my head. Russ Westbrook, James Harden, Klay Thompson all have LA ties off the top of my head.
Kevin Love.
Kevin, very true. Well, he ended up going to Portland or Oregon area.
Lake Oswego,
yeah.
But
later.
He has family in LA, and he played at UCLA. So.
Later in life. But, yeah, that's definitely an interesting question, as always. But we will keep watching Team USA, see if Jimmy Butler gets a little bit more tick. The Americans really need to D up, get back to the basics with Tibbs. Maybe Jimmy's in practice, you know, like grinding, telling the guys, this is what Tibbs is coming at us with. Maybe not. Doesn't seem like the Americans have been practicing a ton. You hear those little whispers and excuses leaking out. Team didn't have a lot of time to gel, like this Argentinian team that has the same group as like 2004, basically, which is just a throwback team all the time. But hey, that's not an excuse. America should win. They should win by more than 3 points per game. So they will play their quarterfinal game Wednesday. We'll plan a podcast after that. As always, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Cody Westerlin, at Hyken. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Advertising inquiries with basketball-related questions. Where do they find us, Sean?
iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also get us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts, you can get Locked On Bulls. And make sure you check out some of the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're getting up towards 20 NFL teams that have, I think, 18, 19, 20, somewhere in that range, NFL teams that have shows now, including Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush, which you could check out if you're a Bears fan. Also Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Any of the NBA shows, all of them are very good. You should check them out. Leave 5-star reviews, lots of 5-star reviews, and we will be back with you shortly.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.